Welcome to the Madera Tribune Podcast, sponsored by Pacific Metal Fab. I'm your host, Lucas Agabrendrias, with my co-host, Tyler Tejeda. Today we have a special guest with us. We have Madera Coyotes head softball coach, Judy Schaubeck. And today we are going to discuss various topics, including her 1,000th game in softball in the division here. So, Tyler, do you want to go ahead and introduce her?
Yeah, we have Coach Schaubeck, and Schaubeck has been an institution here at Madera for many, many years. She just was honored for coaching her 1,000th game for Madera. And, looking back at all the history, 100 years of Madera athletics and stuff, that has never been done. How does it feel to be like that trendsetter, that milestone, the only one in school history to reach 1,000 games coached?
When you put it like that, it's kind of mind-boggling, but I always tell the kids we're only as good as our next game, and our next game is tomorrow at Coyote Zimmerman Field, so we'll see. But yeah, it is, when you look at the numbers, it's a lot of great years of great kids playing for me, and I guess they've added up.
And then, so one of the things that I always bring, I think I've told Coach this a couple of times, but my upbringing was at Sanger High School, so Sanger would play Madera in the NYL. And I would see Madera come in, and I see this coach at third base just start screaming at our players. I'm like, oh my gosh, who is this mean coach? And at that time, I was doing the announcing and keeping the score and keeping track of the statistics for Sanger. So I was always wondering, who is this coach that's always yelling at our players? I never thinking of what she was yelling, but, what she was doing. And so then I got hired at Madera. I think first or second day I got hired, coach calls me up. Hey, you come and do my stats? You want them? Yeah, I want your stats. You announce it too? Sure, if you want it. You're announcing. So just like that, I was hooked. And then I found out that what she was yelling wasn't necessarily yelling. It was encouragement, and it was instruction and everything like that. And it's the culture was like totally changed. Because I came from a Sanger team the year before that averaged about 8 errors a game. Now I go to Madera, and they get mad if they commit one.
You think yelling, but my kids, it was passion, and it was driving them to be the best they could be at whatever it was, whether it was exactly on the field, off the field, challenging them to play to that next level, because we were trying to step up our game and break through the upper echelon of the NYL then. We had some great pitchers back then.
Oh, yeah.
And Sanger did, the Weiberts.
Yep.
And, you had kids out of Fresno High that were throwing the ball really well. And so we were trying to break through and just press and be better, fundamentally better on the field.
And then I remember when I came up, that was I don't want to say as historic, but that was a good group of kids that came up with Morant and Cosgrove and Dice. Oh, yeah. And Brazell and all those kids. Those was a great group that I still remember to this day. And Kelly Del Monte, or Kelly Gentry, as she was called back in the day. All those kids. It's hard to keep track of these kids with a different last name.
Right. And that was a really, really strong senior class. And they all came in as freshmen, and they just grew together. And they grew, and they wanted to be held to high expectations. They flourished in the classroom, not only in the field, but in the classroom and in the community. They were just great character. But those original, those first few years, we had the Zingers, the sisters Mincy and Zingers, and we had some great players to back them up through the years. And then the Cervantes girl came in, and we've always had really strong pitching.
Yeah.
And that's part of softball. The name of the game is you pitch, and then defense wins championships.
Exactly.
And we knew that, and we just kept working on our fundamentals until that's kind of an expectation now as you play quality defense. And
I remember one game I gave up. It was a shot to shortstop or something, and I called it a hit. And I think it was Jennifer Moran's mom that came up to me. She goes, "You give my kid an error. That's an error. She should have made that play." I'm like, all right. Totally different atmosphere now, where I'm not trying to give an error. Now I have to give an error because mom said that's an error.
Oh, not only did we have kids all these years, but we had some really great parents that were involved in softball from the Bobby Sox level all the way up and started travel ball. The Zingers, Cervantes, and those guys back in the day, they started the first travel ball teams here in Madera, the Madera Arrows.
Yeah.
And then it's just grown into more and more teams. And
you just reap the benefits from
that. Yeah, you reap the benefits from that. But I always felt that my job was to teach the game.
Yeah.
And then travel ball, they really exploited going out and playing tough schedules and actually playing games. But that understanding fundamentals, you have more time to teach it.
Now we'll talk about this season a little bit. Little rocky start, starting off 0-6, 1-7. But since then, you won 9 of the last 10, and especially 6 straight in the CMAC. What was the change? Was there a change? Was it just getting more innings under the belt and kind of, or getting in shape? Or what's been the change?
I think just repetitions. We're a team that we pride ourselves on the number of repetitions we get in, the work ethic we get in, the touching the ball. Bats and balls, you know, softball's a game of touching and throwing and catching. And those are highly fundamental skills that, with this COVID, it really sucked. We couldn't do anything for a long time. And then it's, okay, what do you pick and choose as a coach? Usually our first third of the season is all fundamentals.
Yeah.
And then we pick up team defense and then you
specialize.
Well, our specialty plays have had to go out. So a lot of we just had to crunch things together. And I think the kids have really come along with those repetition as of late, and things are starting to click, and the number of swings we're getting in and the quality of swings, and the kids are putting extra time in on themselves outside of practice because of the situation we're in, and you can just see it's starting to gel, and we're starting to learn each other and where people are moving and where they should be, and so I think that's what you're seeing now, and Noodles is starting to come along and starting to hit more spots. And
We struggled, but
we had a tough schedule, and we put it together that way. Knowing last year, had we not had COVID, we had a senior group that was really strong, and those juniors were getting a lot of game experience, and then we just got cut off. And all that game experience kind of went away, so it was retooling, and here we go again. And I think the bottom line is that we are gelling, and those repetitions are now starting to catch up with some of the schools that never really shut down. I don't think our neighbors down the road here, they never really shut down. They just were go, maybe a couple of weeks. And so we're still playing catch up.
Yeah. But you look at it too, where Noodles came in, she wasn't really strong. The workouts weren't there because she didn't get as much in as she wanted. But, you know, you're playing Clovis and Buchanan, two of the top teams in the Valley, Clovis North.
Right.
And then Clovis West, Clovis East, teams that are strong but are beatable. And yet, it was just a struggle. But then once they started to gel and get better and realize that they can play with these guys.
I think that really the big turnaround came in the Clovis North and the Buchanan. Early on, we were definitely behind Clovis and Buchanan in the beginning. We could see that we didn't have enough in.
Yeah.
But then we lost some games. And I told the kids this year we've lost some games due to our own selves. We beat ourselves more often than other teams have beat us. But when we got down to the Clovis North and we went that 8-inning game, I think heads started to turn around and say, hey, we can play with these kids.
Yeah.
And then we come in and we have a strong game against Buchanan and beat them. And, hey, we can play with any team on the field if we take care of what Coyote softball takes.
And that Clovis North game was the last they've had. I mean, to go 4-0 in the beginning with Sanger and Bullard, and then the rest of the schedule kind of just opens up. So the bounce back is there.
Well, you can't look past anybody.
Exactly. I understand that.
You can't disrespect the game or your opponent. You have to go out. And I tell the kids, on paper, we're maybe stronger. But you got to go out and do the job. And you got to play against the game. In those kind of situations, you got to really play against the game because you're getting ready for playoffs.
Exactly. And especially with what you were saying, because you look past them and look at San Joaquin Memorial, you're the better team. They scored 7 runs on you in that first game.
Yeah, they put up 3.
And 3 in the first inning.
Right.
And it was like, they were up 3-0. You're like, whoa.
Right. It was a little bit of a jolt. We had talked to the team that was a possibility if we got to, you know, not focusing on what we're doing and taking things for granted. So we had to get back after that. We had a little practice, a little discussion on where our goals were and where we wanted to be at the end of the season. And we have to shore up some things. You know, defense wins championships. And our defense, we were booting some balls, and our outfield wasn't as strong as I'd like our outfield to be. And I think they've taken it seriously, and we've gone into practice in the last 2 practices and really, really worked hard.
Yeah.
So we'll see this week if that hard work pays off.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of things. You know, we have – I I've been around you for a while, so I know the stories are there. So the 1989 season, the first season, your first season coaching, you guys go 33-1, win a Valley Championship. Talk about Allison Crafton, the most unlikely girl to hit a home run and win that game, help you guys win the Valley Championship 1-0.
Well, that was an amazing group of seniors. Those were 9 girls.
But you coached them when they were JVs, too.
I coached a lot of them on the JV team, and then I came up and I assisted Mr. Shockwell for a couple of years. And then the year before, we were in that semifinal game, and, you know, a couple things go a different way. You know, that's a close game there. And we came out there first day of practice, and I said, look, we can win, and we can win it all this year, but I'm going to need you to trust me, and I'm going to need you to work extremely hard, and we've got to improve our hitting. Our defense and our pitching were always going to be there.
Yeah.
But we had to be able to put the ball in play. There were some very, very good offensive teams. Mount Whitney on paper, probably stronger.
With Marcy Green.
Absolutely. And they had some Division I prospects that were going places, and they were just crushing the ball that year and down in the Visalia area. So going into that game, we knew we had to set the table. We had to get on. We had to move people over. And then we needed to get that clutch hit. Well, it was a tough game. And Marcy Green going to Fresno State, she was just totally awesome. But my pitcher was awesome. Mitzi was just I couldn't imagine. Mitzi was just a gamer and a competitor. She was not going to let her team be beat.
Yeah.
And she kept us in everything really close. And right up there at the end, Allison was that type of kid that she was a slapper, and she was really fast, and she was always putting balls in play for us. But she came up in that last inning, and our goal was to get her to put the ball in play, make the defense make a play on her, because Marcy was just overpowering us with that rise ball. And so she looked at me, and I gave her the slap, and then she started stepping in the box, and she pulled back, and she looked, and then she just looked back at the umpire and called timeout. And I thought, oh, boy, what's Allison thinking? Well, then she walked down to third base, and she goes, Coach, just give me one swing. I know I'm supposed to put the ball in play, but just give me one swing. I can hit her, Coach. And I go, all right, kid, if you really believe in yourself that much and you have that confidence, call timeout, come down here and talk to me. I'm going to give you that one swing. And by golly, if that little girl didn't go in there, all 5 foot whatever, 5 of her, and not even that, I don't even think she was that. Maybe she's shorter than I am, and I'm 5'3". So all 5'2" of her, what, maybe 100 pounds at that time, she got back in that box, and Marcy let go of a rise ball. And if you look on tape, it was at her hat brim of her helmet. And she tomahawked that ball, and it met, ball and bat met and perfect. And I swear that ball went 450 feet out there. And I don't think my arm, I think that's why I had to have shoulder surgery. I think my shoulder was going around so fast I could have raised up like a helicopter. But she came around second, and the girl in the outfield, I always tell my outfielders, scoop the ball up with two hands when you're going to make a relay throw. And she picked it up, dropped it, and by the time she picked it up and relayed it home, Allison was crossing the plate. And that's all Mitzi needed. She just needed that one run, and then she just finished the game off in the seventh, and that was your first Valley Championship.
Like I said, stories, right?
Oh, yeah, it was like it was yesterday. But, oh, man, that was, gosh.
89.
Oh, gosh.
And then, let's talk about more recent. I think the key, or the theme of the 2015 championship was small ball never fails.
Right. Well,
that was against Redwood up in Visalia.
Again, on paper, that Redwood team had 4 hitters, 3 Division I recruits that were going on to pretty good programs. Big hitters. I mean, they were big hitters. And our goal, they had good defenders, but they were slow on the corners, and we knew they were slow on the corners going in. And they sat down on their heels on defense. And we played them earlier in the year. We watched them sit down on their heels, and I said, that's the way we're going to get on base. Well, how it worked out is we had, I think, 3 sneaky bunts in a row, and they threw the ball down the line and gave us the lead. And then Martinez started the game off, but she was a little injured that year. And then Destiny came in, our freshman came in, and, man, she was nails. She was nails throughout the – she pitched so maturely that game. We called pitches and locations, and she hit them. And we had the last inning. I was a little nervous that last inning. They were in the heart of their order, and they had their big bat coming up. That man, she was good all year, clutch for all year long. And we had 2 outs and runner at 2.
That runner at 2, you got mad at Revere because the left fielder wasn't playing back far enough, we allowed that double out there.
Yeah, they got that leadoff double, but again, Mount Whitney coach, he played big ball. He could have moved that runner over to three, and fly ball, the next fly ball out would have been tied the game, or got him back in the game. But he didn't bunt all day. So that big girl comes up, and I run down there to my daughter at the time was the pitching coach, and called the games, and I said, it's two outs. We can't pitch to this girl. She's their best hitter. And she looked over her shoulder and she said, well, do you want me to pitch to the girl that's had two doubles off the wall, or do you want me to pitch to this girl who hasn't hit the ball very well today? I said, I'll go back to my bucket. So I went back down to where my bucket is. And she got her to Destiny, got her to hit under a ball early and just popped it up to Geiger and Wright. And that was it. That was game. So
what she doesn't also mention was, early in that game, with avoiding a play, she pulled a cap muscle.
Oh, my gosh. Again, sign of age. It was on a field that had grass along the sidelines, in like a baseball field.
Yeah.
And I got my heel caught in that grass and strained a muscle. And, boy, I was kind of hurting in that game. So I was glad the girls finished it off there in the seventh.
She was all taped up. Her leg was all taped. And then we go the next year to Fresno State. We're Valley champs and going against a good Menachie team.
Oh, those guys were great. They had some awesome hitters, and their pitcher was just a stud.
Well, Madera took the lead. They came back. Both teams kicked the ball around.
Right.
Our best hitter, Alia, she's had a horrible day. Yeah. I mean, just bad.
She was really struggling. And in the dugout, though, right before that inning, I knew she was coming up. And she's that kid that would always clutch up for you.
Yeah.
And I just went down the dugout and said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. You got to be in the moment, present, right here. This is your at-bat. This is your opportunity to succeed. It's just another opportunity. So don't worry about what happened in the past. Worry about right now.
Okay, Nukesay. I don't know if you've heard this story, but this is one for the ages. I love this one.
Oh, my gosh. That was such an exciting. I went from, I'm going to kill this kid if she's out at the plate, to the euphoria of.
Yeah.
And she made the split-second decision. She's always been an instinctive baseman. And she always was thinking one step ahead of everybody, even the coach at this point. But she hit a ball down, and if you've ever been to Fresno State and watched a ball go down the lines, they got deep corners. And when a ball hits and runs to the corner, that's an easy triple. Well, she was coming in, and they threw behind her. And she come around so hard at third
that she
almost ran into me. And she literally got outside me. Because I'm moving down the line to stop her. I think leadoff triple, we're in great shape. Well, they threw behind her, and she caught the third baseman on the wrong side of the bag. So she had to reach out, and she had made the decision, if I try to get back, I'm going to be out. So she just accelerated head first in, and the tag came down on top of her hand, safe. But it was that split second, just go.
Yeah.
And I'm looking over my shoulder thinking, we're either dead out, and I'm going to kill this kid. To just ecstatic for her that she had the forethought to go and not hesitate.
And you know, with her, Alia Cuevas, you've seen all those base running instincts that she's done for the last 4 years. She never got an AB, but yet she was one of their most important players because she came in and ran bases.
Right.
And
she had many games where they pinch ran for her, or she became the pinch runner, and she was an integral part on a number of wins where she came in and stole the base, or caught a catcher sleeping on her knees and tossed him back, or just from second to home, she made it look easy.
Yeah.
I mean, routine balls that you would think nobody's going on, she scored. You saw it at UCLA the other day. I think they were playing Minnesota, and that's a great catcher.
Yeah.
Nobody should be stealing on that Minnesota catcher, and she went and she got that base and gave them an opportunity, if we had a clutch hit there, to go ahead, and they went ahead and won that game. But it was fun to watch her play on TV, and just an instinctive base runner. And another kid that just loves the game, loves the passion of the game.
It was so great. And then the other one, 2008, her daughter Shelby and her group of buddies, that was one of your other best teams.
Oh,
probably,
man.
One of the best teams to, quote, never win it in the history of Valley Championship. Because, I mean, you're talking about Vanessa Salinas, the Pitcher of the Year, MVP. Kathy Cota setting records. Felicia Zavala setting records. Her daughter catching.
Laura Salinas.
That was a good group.
That was a great group of kids. That was probably individually the most. Jody Batterini went on to play at Fresno State. Therese Valdez out in
left field.
That was 07, but 08, they Bree Perez, that she started as a freshman on that group. Boy, did she have some, she grew up fast in left field. And, you know, we just had a, it was a fun year.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about that is Mike Noel at Clovis wrote in the Fresno Bee that he, as long as he was coaching Clovis, there would never be an undefeated team. And that was about three quarters away for, through our season.
Well, for track, in the track
season. In the track. And I cut that thing out, and I put it on the locker room wall. And every day we went through the locker room, I kept pointing, is this the respect you have right here from Clovis? And we went all the way undefeated through that season. And I just, that was just a special group of young ladies.
Undefeated through the track.
Yep.
First team.
First team to beat all the Clovis schools. And it was an amazing year. And we just can't, fell a little short to a very good pitcher that went on to Florida State, but... That was a tough one to go. A
couple of base running mistakes that we made.
Yeah, and uncharacteristic of my teams couldn't bunt that day.
Yeah.
We had five situations where we should have moved the runner over. Everything we did all season long, we fell a little short in our short game.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing. We used to play over there at Madison. I've never seen so many people at a game over there in my life.
It was fun. It was a fun game. It's just sad that, you know, but...
Hey, we got
great group. Life moves on.
Exactly.
Proud of these kids, where they've gone with their lives. They're doing wonderful things.
Yeah. All right, so 682 wins.
Oh, boy. That just means I'm getting really
682 old. Wins against 343 losses, a .665 win percentage. So congratulations, Coach, on all your accomplishments. I'm glad I've been there for about the last quarter of them.
Yeah.
Helping you out, and it's been just a great journey, and thanks for coming on, and reflecting on some of these great times we've had. There's more stories, but we just don't have the time for that.
Well, I appreciate it, Tyler. You've done a great job for us, and it's just been fun. I mean, it's great. I don't work a day in my life. I have a dream job. I get to go to work, and they pay me pretty good money for working with kids, and I'm just blessed to enjoy and get to love what I do.
Exactly. All right, so thanks, Coach, and that'll do it for this edition of the Madera Tribune Podcast. We'll be back next week. We haven't locked down a guest, so maybe we'll just talk about some of the things going on in the world. But thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys next week.